drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Happy Saturday and welcome into the CDGA Golf Show brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Jack McGrath in for Tyler Aki today with Mike Gilligan. And Mike, I'm in for Tyler today because Tyler's out on site with you for a very special event at Fox Bend Golf Course.
Jack, it's good to have you in the booth there, my friend. Glad that we can work together this Saturday because, yes, we are out at Fox Bend. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to be somewhere today where the people are happy, grateful, appreciative, patient, kind-hearted, and just simply nice, then you want to come out to Fox Bend and watch the most inspiring athletes compete in the Chicago Adaptive Open for the $30,000 cash purse. And we have got 15 different classifications. We've got 80 competitors, a full field, and we have got some amazing, inspiring stories that just prove how resilient and how tenacious the human body can be to overcome disasters, tragedies, or, you know, unfortunate happenings in one's life that turn their life upside down. I've had people here approach me to tell me, Mike, you have no idea. I had thoughts about putting a gun to my head and ending things, but golf saved my life. Golf gave me a whole new outlook. And we are seeing it here. We've had people fly in from different states. We have 26 states, four countries. People have come from France, Cameroon, Africa, Puerto Rico, Mexico. And as I say, 26 states, all the way from California to New York, Florida to Arizona. And it has been one heck of an event. We had a pro-am yesterday. And it was just an unbelievable experience out here. Each group had one of the top adaptive athletes, and they impressed without failure. I'm looking at Issa Nyap, who is from Cameroon. He calls Paris, France his new home, and he is the favorite. Now, let me tell you a little story about Issa. Issa has no knees all the way down, so he has got stumps for thighs. So he wears two prosthetics. He has no left hand. None. A wrist. That's what he has. And then on his right hand, he has a thumb. And then he has a pinky. And he wears a special device. And he can play golf. And he'll shoot under par. And he's the favorite. So he shot in an event down in Florida 2 weeks ago, 36 holes, 9 under par and 1 by 9. So he has flown out here because he said, hey, as he texts me, you have a lucrative purse. So I come from Africa. So we are excited to see him. He goes off at 9:40. We are streaming this live. If anyone wants to see what's going on, we are streaming from right now. It's live. If you go to our website, you can click on the link. We'll be streaming live. We have Dan Rohn, the legendary WGN sports commentator, will be in the main booth. And as you said, we'll have Tyler and Tim Merrick and other people from CDGA TV bringing this broadcast live today. Today, we're going to specifically talk about their stories, get every athlete going off either 1 or 10 for the next couple of hours. So everyone will get introduced to who these players are today and their story and what brings them to Fox Bend in Chicago. And then tomorrow at noon, we will be back live again to really bring you the finals, the back nine, and we will be following with a couple of camera crews, so it's going to be really neat. And we're going to award an overall men's, women's, and senior champion, and then we have the 15 different classifications, and each classification for amateurs are playing for $1,000 for first, $600 for second, and $400 for third. So a podium finish gets you some money back, and it keeps your amateur status intact. But we do have a bunch of professionals here, so if Issa were to win the overall and his classification, he would walk home with $2,000 today. So it's a great day for Oswego and the Oswego community. They have embraced this event like no other. I think they're calling it their own, And believe it or not, at the ribbon cutting ceremony yesterday, we were asked already to come back. So we think that is the ultimate compliment when you are a guest at a golf course and they're asking you to come back and you haven't even struck the first tee shot in competition. So we are grateful. We are appreciative. And we are changing a lot of lives out here in Oswego.
Mike, you talked about how players are coming from all over, different countries across the United States. What's the makeup of the players like? Because I was watching an interview last night on Fox 32 with Owen Wills, who's 14 years old and playing in the event. What's the age range look like? Where do all these different players kind of come from?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Age really doesn't play much into the equation anymore when you get at this level. It's all about your classification. So they have classifications where, you know, an individual may have one amputation on the lower level, like meaning knee down, or it could be the whole leg, and that's a different classification. Then they have the doubles, and then they go to the one arm and one hand. And with the one arm, it's interesting because they have a category where you play exclusively with one arm, but then there's a second category of one arm where you can actually put your other, you know, stump, hand, whatever you have left on that side. And then that way, if you decide to putt that way, then you have to play in that classification. So there has been a lot of, you know, research and experimentation, because golf has been around forever. And it's been a black and white sport ever since the test of time. But the greatest thing about this community is that it's a gray community, and we're trying to figure out, is it black or is it white? Because different levels of adaptation carry, you know, different limitations. So not everything is easy, clean, and fits in its own little compartment. So this is an evolution, and as the USGA said a couple of years ago, this adaptive golf is a tsunami coming. And the CDGA, we're very much ahead of it, and we want to be the pioneers in leading where this could be in 5 to 10 years from now, because the community is waking up. When you figure golf is the only sport where if you have an adaptation of sort, you can play and you can enjoy it and you can play competitively. But if you tried to play, let's say, football, basketball, tennis with these people, you couldn't do it. That's the beauty of this sport. And much what our foundation has been doing for 80-plus years is using golf as a therapeutic tool for our soldiers who returned from World War I. Well, we use the same logic with people that have faced various tragedies, whether it was in war, car accident, or a birth defect. And golf has been their saving grace, and it has done so much for their attitudes, personalities, and their just their way of life. And they feel, once again, normal. And that is the best thing about this. Everybody's here and everybody's embracing one another. It's a community that comes together and everybody knows everybody, and the community just keeps expanding. So this is much like the rest of the industry of golf and how it's increasing and getting bigger and expanding. So is this. And I think this has the biggest upside of any growth opportunity in the game.
So you guys are at Fox Bend Golf Course today. Why is that a good location for the event today?
Well, it's funny you ask that, Jack. Leon McNair was a legendary golf professional in the Illinois section, and Leon built this golf course in conjunction with Brent Wadsworth. The Wadsworth Construction Company, based here in Illinois, designed and built this golf course for this community when all that was out here were farms. And you now have a community. When it was first built, I think they had 4,000 or 5,000 people. They have over 30,000 people now out here in Oswego. And it is an amazing, amazing community. So I play my golf here on Sunday mornings quite often. And early on when I was playing, I went to the 10th tee, and they have this big memorial rock that sits there on the tee, and it tells the whole story of Brent Wadsworth and Leon McNair. And in fact, this section of Ogden Avenue is known as Leon McNair Highway. They thought so highly of him. And Leon's story, he started the Fox Valley First Tee, and his main mission was to bring golf to individuals with disability. And I started to read this, and it just dawned on me. It was like one of those light bulb, the light got lighter or brighter in the room. And I was like, this is where it needs to go. So I finished the back nine, promptly walked into Lou Ramadani's office and said, Lou, I've got an idea. And we started chatting about it, and his eyes got big. He goes, I'm all in. And then we went and talked to the superintendent, Bob Kolstad. He's all in, and the rest is history. This community embraced it. Let me tell you what they did here, Jack. And this is very, very odd. We have this golf course yesterday, today, and tomorrow. My tee time has been displaced by this, as many have been today. But all of the people are volunteering to help. So this isn't like, oh, my God, they took our golf course away. This community has come in and embraced it in a way that literally will almost bring a tear to your eye, because they're so into this. And it's just been a great marriage for all of us. And the idea started small, and it has expanded to something that I thought it would be great, but I didn't have any idea it would be this good.
CDGA Golf Show. Mike Gilligan is on site at Fox Bend Golf Course for the Chicago Adaptive Open, the second ever Chicago Adaptive Open. And Mike, can people come and watch this event?
They sure can, Jack. They just come on out. We have plenty of parking here on site. There'll be an overflow over to the Home Depot, which is right on the 13th hole. They can walk right on. Admission is free. You can come on out and walk the fairways with them. And unlike when you go to a PGA Tour event, you know, where the guys won't give you the time of day, especially afterwards and all this, not here. You're going to make a lot of friends. So if you want some new friends, come on out to Fox Bend.
Players are teeing off right now. We have a packed-in show for you today. At 9:30, we're going to talk to Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion and ESPN golf analyst. We'll break down what happened at the U.S. Open last weekend with him, including some of the little controversies that were there. We'll talk to Andre Blom as well, the CEO of the Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. And Mike, next, you told me yesterday that there was a pro-am at Fox Bend as part of the Chicago Adaptive Open, and you said you had some great stories coming from that. I want to hear those stories from you. Coming up next is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. It's the CDGA Golf Show, brought to you by Golf Elgin. Jack McGrath in for Tyler Aki today. Tyler's on site at Fox Bend Golf Course for the Chicago Adaptive Open. Mike Gilligan's out there as well. And Mike, yesterday, you told me that you had a pro-am and you had some spectacular stories, and it was a spectacular night out at Fox Bend Golf Course.
Oh, we did. It was, I mean, we had all the legends out here, Dan Rohn and, you know, Mr. Wadsworth himself, Eric Wadsworth, and all of the sponsors turned out huge to support the first event here out in the Fox Bend, Oswego area. And I was totally caught off guard when Jake Olson, for those who don't know who Jake Olson, ESPN did a story on him about a year and a half or two ago. He played football at the University of Southern Cal, and he is blind. And when I tell you he's blind, he lost his eyes at the age of 10 due to cancer. So when I tell you he's blind, it's 100%. He has no eyes. So they basically put him as a long snapper at USC, and he was on the scout team. He practiced religiously for 4 years with that program, but never got into a game until the final game against UCLA his senior year, and they brought him in, and he snapped it. They kicked the field goal, and so they officially put a blind football player in the Division I NCAA game, and he executed a play flawlessly. So last year I'm looking at the list of people coming in, and sure enough, Jake Olson, Huntington Beach, California. And he came in and played Cog Hill number 3 with his dad, just giving him general direction, what the wind's doing, just painting a picture every time, even on the putting green. And for 36 holes, playing from the regular white tees at Cog Hill number 3. So for any of those who know Cog Hill number 3, you know what I'm talking about. He shot 80, 82, completely blind. I challenge you to close your eyes and see if you can score less than 10 on a golf hole. If you can even find your ball, let's say, you know, and find it, I meaning find it with the club head down to where it is stationed in front of you. That it's just an unbelievable thing to watch. Well, anyway, Chris, his dad, shows up, and he's so excited because he said, hey, if Chicago's going to treat people like this, you can count on us coming every year from Huntington Beach, California. And sure enough, he shows up. Little did I know, his father grew up across the street from Fox Bend, and he used to cut the fairways here. So Jake's got a little bit of an advantage over everyone else. His dad's been cutting green since he was in high school. He apparently went to Oswego High School, class of 1981. So it was wild. He came to the party last night and reconnected with old high school buddies and people that were all here in town and playing in the event. So just goes to show you sometimes when you're trying to do something kind for the world that other things happen just because they need to and they should, and the world is right. And it was just a wild story to see somebody from that far away come to little old Oswego, Illinois, and he grew up here. So that was one of the feel-good stories. But the shot of the day has to go to the gentleman from Cameroon, Issa, who on the ninth hole took a wedge and landed it 3 yards behind the green and sucked it back in for a deuce. So on a par four. So that was by far the shot of the day. And overall, everyone just had a wild, wild time. And I can't tell you how many people who are single-digit handicaps that I know played yesterday were just amazed that their pro or their amateur who is in the adaptive event was substantially longer than they were, and they can't figure it out. But it is so impressive, and it just makes everybody, I think, take a step back and, you know, become grateful for what you have today, because you're not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. And I think that's the big lesson that everybody got yesterday. And everybody left here in a mood that was electric, up, happy, and really better off for just spending the day here yesterday, quite honestly.
And I, back to your story about Jake Olson and his dad, I think that just shows how the reach the Chicago Adaptive Open has with players from 26 states. You mentioned earlier five different countries, including the United States, represented at the Chicago Adaptive Open. What do you think makes the CDGA Chicago Adaptive Open so attractive to players from across the country and across the world?
Well, without question, it comes down to our staff and the ability to put an event that is by far, I think, among the best run out on, in their community. And we've had many of the players come up and say, you know, the USGA, who they have their Adaptive Open in Maryland in just a couple of weeks, could take a lesson from us. And really what it is, it comes down to showing off the hospitality that we can show people. And I've always said this, having in a previous career put on golf tournaments from, you know, Boston to LA and everywhere in between, and I have to tell you, the Midwest people, the culture, the act of volunteering and getting involved is vibrant, it's alive, and it's well. You go out to the far coast and it's not necessarily always that way. And I think the key has been just the way we treated everybody. And the word got out last year from the 50 that played. Now, having a purse certainly doesn't hurt, but I think the date, and when you consider what Fox Bend has done for us, they've given us the golf course this weekend, and it's June, you know, and we have a short season. So we have what I consider the plum of plum dates on the calendar, because this sets up so perfectly as the stern test before they have to go play the U.S. Open, because adaptive players don't have the same ability to rebound after a round of golf. They can generally go two rounds, maybe three, but three might even be pushing it, especially for those who have the prosthetic legs. So having the break of a couple of weeks before their next major makes this an ideal event to play in. Chicago's easy to get to from all around the world and all around the United States. We've got two airports. It's ultra convenient that way. And then regionally, when you consider Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Indiana, Kentucky, Iowa, they're all represented because it's a great, easy drive in. So I think, you know, when you look at the four P's in any marketing, you got price, product, placement, and promotion. Well, we've got the place and we've got the product, and we're doing the best we can to promote it, and the price is free. So come on out and see some of the greatest adaptive golf you'll ever witness.
Such great players there this weekend, Mike. Can you describe some of the scenes out there right now at Fox Bend Golf Course? I know players are starting to tee off as we speak.
Yeah, we just had the opening ceremony tee shot. We took Ryan Jackson, and Jarrett Fultz, our overall men's and women's champions from last year, and put them in the first group. And Eric Ciotti from the CDGA staff is leading the charge with the opening ceremonies. And we probably had 150 to 160 people around the first tee. So it was just electric to send everybody off first thing this morning. And we're going to be, again, we're streaming this. And if anyone wants to watch, we're live right now. If you go to our website, cdga.org, and then you click on the Adaptive Open, it will come up. Just click on the live stream, and away you go. Doesn't cost anything, and you can see the pictures, the drone coverage that we've got. We've taken this up another notch this year, and obviously adding the likes of a Tyler Aki, big name, right? He's going to help us out. He's putting down the radio mic and picking up a TV one with some video with it.
That's awesome to hear. Weather out there a little bit better than it was for the U.S. Open last week?
Oh, yeah, a lot. But we won't have any issues with the water or the precipitation. Our issue is going to be having a hairdryer blowing in our face, I think, the next 24, 48 hours. They're calling for some pretty good winds today. We had ideal weather yesterday. A little bit of a little mist in the morning, but that gave way to just a beautiful 84 degree. A little windy, a little breezy, but it was nice. But today, the conditions are going to be hot. They're going to be very windy. I'm hearing gusts could reach up as much as 35 to 40 miles an hour. But we have a steady, probably 18 to 20 mile an hour wind working right now. It's providing a lot of relief for us that aren't playing. But this will give the players all kinds of fits and troubles and confusion because, you know, it's easy to see the course one or two times and get a good feel for it. But when the wind all of a sudden comes up out of nowhere and you've not played it with the wind, it plays like an entirely different golf course. And they're going to find that out the hard way, I think, today. And after today, I think they'll be better prepared for tomorrow.
Well, last week at the U.S. Open, it's good to hear that you guys have some really good weather out there today at Fox Bend Golf Course for the Chicago Adaptive Open. Everybody should go out and check out that event. It's a great event. The weather last week at the U.S. Open caused some controversy. And coming up next, we're going to talk to Andy North, a two-time U.S. Open champion, ESPN golf analyst. We're going to get his thoughts on what went down at the U.S. Open last week and what his thoughts are about the Chicago Adaptive Open, because I know he was at the event last year, and I want to hear his thoughts on why this is such an important event. That's all coming up next on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. It's the CDGA Golf Show brought to you by Tullymore. Jack McGrath in for Tyler Aki. Mike Gilligan is on site at Fox Bend for the Chicago Adaptive Open, where the world's best adaptive players are out in Oswego and Fox Bend Golf Course competing for a $30,000 purse. Right now, we bring in Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion and ESPN golf analyst, on the Jersey Mike's guest hotline. Andy, how are you doing?
Top of the morning, doing awesome. So, nice warm summer day in the Midwest.
So, Andy, I know you were at the Chicago Adaptive Open last year. Why is it important for you to get out to events like the Chicago Adaptive Open?
Well, I think, first of all, to give those guys your support, what they've been able to accomplish in the game of golf is absolutely amazing. Every time I go watch these guys hit it, it's incredible to me. I mean, the scores that some of these guys can shoot, the quality of shots they can hit while overcoming unbelievable tragedies in their life. It's been truly amazing. And, one of the hottest events in the country right now is the USGA has created this Adaptive Open on the national scene and so many of the guys that are playing there this weekend will be playing that. And it's the fastest growing event the USGA has.
Andy, no doubt, good to have you on again, and happy Saturday to you. And let me tell you, everybody here is asking, is Andy North here again? Is Andy North here? I said he couldn't make it this year, but hopefully he'll be here next year. But you had a great influence on a lot of people here last year, and there's a lot of people who wanted to just simply say hello to you today. But we want to talk to you a little bit about the U.S. Open. I mean, what an event we had. It never seems to disappoint. J.J. Spahn, he clinches his first major by holing out that dramatic 64-foot putt on the 72nd hole at Oakmont. As someone who's handled U.S. Open pressure, what does it take mentally to deliver in such a moment like that?
Well, I think you know, before we get into that, it was such a great Open, even though the weather was not cooperating as like we would have liked it to be. But you saw one of the hardest golf courses in the country play very difficult. I thought the setup was really great. It made the players put the ball in the fairway. If you put it in the rough, you're probably going to make a bogey. And that's a different kind of golf than they're used to playing. So at times, a lot of the players struggled. But at the end, what JJ did, I thought he looked, from the eye test, I thought he looked like he was playing the best of anybody all week long. Sunday morning on our Sports Center shows, I actually thought he would be our winner. I didn't expect it to happen like it happened. You know, the horrible breaks he got early on. I mean, the shot at the second hole was absolutely perfect. It's going to be a tap-in birdie. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen from there. And he hits the pin and comes back off the green 60 yards. And, you know, he ended up making a bogey and then hit a rake on another hole. All of a sudden, he's five over after six holes. You're thinking, what? This guy's got no chance. Then the rain delay came, and he was able to sort of reset. And when he came out, the rest of the golf he played was absolutely spectacular. He had a lot of good shots. He made two or three bombs. And, you know, everybody talks about the putt on the last hole. The tee shot he had at 17 was just absolutely perfect. You know, it's a hole that a lot of guys are driving it on, but when you're in the last group, you're tied to the lead in the U.S. Open, you can pull off a shot like that, give yourself a nice, easy two-putt birdie. Boy, that's really nice to get that lead back. And then got a great break on the last hole. His playing partner hit it literally a foot outside him before he had the putt. So he got a nice read on the break and the speed, and you don't expect him to make it, but it was really a perfect, if it doesn't go in, it's a foot to 18 inches from the hole, which is exactly what he wanted. But he really got it back together. I thought he was kept his calm really, really well during the course of the event. As we talk at majors, and particularly US Open, you better have some patience or you're going to have a lot of problems that week. And he did, and just really proud of how he handled himself, particularly coming down the stretch.
Andy, there were a lot of questions after the rain delay, after play stopped, of whether the event should have continued that day. What do you think? Because I know there were some very tough shots for a lot of these players that on very wet conditions in the middle of the fairway. Do you think the event should have continued that day?
Yeah, I do. The guys don't want it. If you can go out there and play, you want to play. And the golf course was in pretty great shape. So what standing water you had were in the low areas, and you can take relief from those areas if it's deemed to be in casual water. You know, we play in those kind of conditions all the time. And, you know, some guys came back and played great. Some guys struggled. But all in all, I thought the setup for the Open at Oakmont was absolutely terrific. And I think you saw the struggle the players went through. You know, you're trying to define the guy who's playing the best that week, and I think that JJ probably was that guy.
You know, Andy, if you went to Pittsburgh a week before the U.S. Open and said, do you know a JJ? They might say, we know a TJ Watt. We might know an AJ Brown. We might even know an RJ Reynolds who played for the Pirates. But JJ, they now, the Yinzers of Pittsburgh now know who he is. And the 72nd and 71st holes, like you said, were pivotal for Spahn. And he had that drivable par 4 that shot, to your point, may have been the shot of the entire event. I know the putt was great, but, I mean, to deliver at that moment, you know, what goes through a player's mind at that moment?
Well, you know, you're just trying to rely on, you know, what you've done in practice rounds and you know, what you've been working on, and you just try to visualize the shot and hit the shot the way you want to. And he mentioned afterwards that in his practice rounds, he hit that exact tee shot. So he felt really comfortable getting up there. He knew the shot he needed to play, and he pulled it off. And, you know, he hit so many quality shots during the week. On Saturday, I counted up, there were 12 irons that he hit that never left the pin. Now, they might not have been the perfect distance. It might have been 15 feet short or 10 feet long or whatever, but they never left the pin, and boy, that's hard to do under that kind of pressure.
Off of Mike's question there, Andy, when you see great shots like that in a U.S. Open, does it ever take you back to your U.S. Open wins, thinking about some of the great shots that you yourself hit?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't hit any great shots like that one. Obviously, every time I go to the Open, you have great memories. You understand that it's such a difficult golf tournament to win. And I personally just loved it when it was set up really difficult, as we saw Oakmont. Par was a heck of a score. And, you saw the players struggle all week long. It didn't matter who they were. The best player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, probably had a great chance to win. He missed a bunch of putts. I think he had 7-3 putts for the week. You know, that's giving away a lot of shots that he would probably not been very happy Sunday night, I would suspect. But, he's bounced back. He's leading, tied for the lead up at Hartford. He's the best player in the world for a reason.
And that he is. Andy, Robert McIntyre finished second, and several others made a late charge on Sunday. Who impressed you most outside the winner, and why?
Well, I really thought that, the guys that were near the lead played so well all week long, and it's just, it's unfortunate and disappointing that you have a stretch of bad holes at the end of the tournament, and that's what makes our sport so hard. You can play great for 3.5 days, and you have a 45-minute period that you don't do what you want to do, and all of a sudden all that hard work is out the window. I thought that, there were so many guys. I thought that, watching Scottie play, he wasn't at his absolute best, but boy, he was right in the middle of it the whole time, and if he doesn't miss two or three short putts on Sunday, he would have had a really good chance. But I think the winner last week and the star of the show was Oakmont. We've had a lot of great Open championships there over the years, going back to the Nicholas Palmer 1962, the Johnny Miller. We've had some really, really terrific winners there. And the golf course never disappoints. Even if under soft conditions, it's still a super difficult golf course.
What did you think of Scottie Scheffler's performance? I know he's putting on a show at the Travelers Championship this weekend. What did you think of Scottie Scheffler's performance last weekend?
I think he played pretty well. I don't think that there's anything to be totally be disappointed about. I mean, I think that he'd like to have made a few more putts on Sunday and hit a couple more fairways. You go back over a tournament like that, he finished 5 shots back. I guarantee he could find 5 or 6 shots pretty easily going back over the week. But, all in all, there's a reason he's the best player in the world. But even his average weeks, he finishes in the top 10. I think that's pretty remarkable.
Andy, the two biggest things on Sunday that surprised me were Sam Burns and Adam Scott. What do you think happened? I really thought Adam Scott, with his experience, would have put together a Sunday run that had been – well, a lot better than shooting 79.
Yeah, that was, they gave a lot of shots away at the end. I really thought I was pulling for Adam. He's a good friend. It'd have been a really cool story. Sam Burns has been playing some really good golf the last month after struggling a little bit during the early portion of the year. So, that was nice to see him play well. You just hate to see guys, and it's almost like, and this is hard to explain, you're fighting, you're at the lead the whole week. Being near the lead the whole week is really draining mentally and physically on a player. And all of a sudden, you get to where instead of being at the lead, one ahead, tied, like they both were pretty much the whole week, now you get a couple of shots behind. And now you start trying to force things, and that's when you turn a potential 72 or 3 into 77 or 78, trying to do things that probably you shouldn't be trying to do, and particularly at a place like Oakmont.
So, Andy, there's a new CEO of the PGA. It was Brian Rolapp who was announced earlier this week. What are your initial thoughts on Brian Rolapp?
I don't really know anything about him other than, you know, he's been at the NFL for a bunch of years. I hope he understands our business. It's one thing to be a CEO of something, but you really have to understand the, you know, behind the scenes, how things work, how things usually operate. I'm sure there's going to be a big learning curve, and he's going to have the help of Jay's going to stay around till the end of next year. So I would think that will be a big benefit for him. You know, getting to know some of the players is important. Going out and meeting the sponsors, dealing with the television people, there's a lot of moving parts that he's going to have to get up to speed at that he's had really nothing to do with. So it'll be interesting how he handles it. I know a lot of the players are excited. They think he's the right guy. But, you know, like everything else, we have to see.
Andy, I had a question for you regarding equipment. It seemed that JJ used, you know, that new hot putter out there, the Lab, and I guess he made history by being, you know, the first to win a major using this technology. How do you view the role of equipment innovation in today's majors compared to when you played?
Well, it's a, you know, obviously the equipment is so much different. You know, that you're trying to keep it a fair playing field. You know, some of the putters today are so much easier to use than in the old days, but it's still the operator. You know, you can take a broomstick, and if you can really hit it or putt, you know, you can probably hit it with that. So, you know, I think we get so caught up on buying hope, and I think all the golf companies sell hope to the players. You know, there's a lot of times you go and try something new and you buy it just because it's new, and yet it doesn't operate as well as maybe your 10-year-old driver. So, yeah, you've got to figure out what works for you and go ahead and go for it. And if it happens to be brand new stuff, great. If not, you know, go for it. I mean, Jack Nicklaus won, I think, 17 of his 18 majors with a putter that was 30 or 40 years old.
So basically you're saying it's not the arrow, it's the Indian.
Well, you know, in today's world, I guess that is more difficult to say. But, yeah, absolutely. If you take a world-class player and take him out with you playing today and he gets to hit shots with other people's clubs, trust me, they'll figure out how to hit decent shots.
Yeah, it makes sense because I was nailing all the 10-foot putts at the golf store, and then when I bought the new putter, I couldn't hit them on the course. So
once you pay for it, it never works the same.
It never works.
Not at all.
Take the price tag off.
Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion and ESPN golf analyst, joining us on the Jersey Mike's Guest Hotline. All right, thank you for your time, Andy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to the next time.
All right, that's Andy North, and Mike Gilligan is on site at the Fox Bend for the Chicago Adaptive Open. We'll talk more about that coming up. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. This is the CDGA Golf Show brought to you by Tour Edge. Jack McGrath in for Tyler Aki today. He's on special assignment out at Fox Bend Golf Course for the Chicago Adaptive Open. That's also where Mike Gilligan is at. A great event. And, Mike, what do the scenes look like now as players continue to tee off?
Well, we've got a few players that are out on the course. We've already got our leaders. We've got three guys that are one under, including the aforementioned Jake Olson. He birdied number one completely blind. So it's just awesome. So we have a three-way tie right now early on between a lower leg and a one arm. They're all three under, or one under, so all three of them. So, yeah, things are progressing. We're live streaming, and players are warming up both on putting greens, practice range. We've got both tees going. And I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of spectators out here, which is great.
That's great to hear. We talked about Jake Olson a little bit earlier, former long snapper for USC. He played in one game for the University of Southern California as a long snapper. And as you mentioned, Mike, completely blind and now in the CDGA Adaptive Open. Mike, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is Andy North talked about the U.S. Open and some of the things that stood out to him. What player other than J.J. Spaun stood out to you at the U.S. Open last weekend?
Well, you know, there was a few. And what I guess I saw out of John Rahm on Sunday was something that I think he needed to see, we needed to see, because I still think there's a lot of great golf in that young man. And even though he's over on LIV, you know, we really miss him. We really, really miss him. And I think that's my biggest takeaway, is how much we really want Bryson and John Rahm and these players to be back playing with the world's best, to see really who is the best. And, you know, we were treated to just such a great show at Oakmont. And I think Andy's right. I think the golf course won in a huge, huge way in, you know, identifying the best player. And what's interesting, you know, of the previous Opens, and as you may know, Jack, Oakmont has hosted the most U.S. Opens of any club here in the United States. And as such, I believe the number of all the Opens that they've held, they've had 1,300, and I think it's 58 different competitors going into this year's Open, which there was 156 more added, and only 27 have made at under par. So we add JJ, he's number 28. So in other words, it was less than 1% of the field made the cut, and it's on the average when they play the Open at Oakmont, it's somewhere between 1% and 2%. At only, or not make the cut, go under par. So it shows you just how difficult Oakmont can be. And the other thing was that weather actually helped the golfers. I would love to have seen what Oakmont would have been like if everything was running hard and fast, because the Oakmont fairways are a lot like Olympic out in San Francisco. The cities are very similar in their, you know, hills and steep grades of transition in the community, all due in part to having the Ohio and the Allegheny all in and around Pittsburgh. But those fairways, while they say that they're wide, they don't act that way when everything's running hard and fast. So this past U.S. Open, they had quite a bit of rain, and it made the fairways much more generous for the players, because the balls would stay in the fairways versus running out and being almost like what I'd consider half the size. So I think if we would have had drier conditions, I don't think we would have had anybody under par. And in fact, I think more of like a plus four, plus five would have won it.
Interesting. I want to dive more into that with you when we come back, because Sam Burns, who was the leader for most of the time out at Oakmont this weekend, there was a little bit of a controversy with him in terms of the weather. We'll dive into that. Also, if you want to listen back to our interview with Andy North, the two-time U.S. Open champion, you can get that on the ESPN Chicago app. Just download, go to the App Store and download it, and you'll be able to listen to it on the CDGA Golf Show. I'm Jack McGrath, in for Tyler Rocky. Mike Gilligan is out at the Chicago Adaptive Open at Fox Bend Golf Course. That's open and free for anybody to go watch that event. We'll be right back talking more about it on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.